Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dominic, we are joined right now live via Zoom by a couple of fine guests. Eddie Panichkol. He is with Lutema USA. I'm sorry, Eddie. I struggle with names casually. Dom knows that. You know that now. And Dr. Brennan, Dan Brennan, a pediatrician from Santa Barbara, California. We welcome you both back. Eddie, want to start with you. Congratulations. I understand you got your second vaccine recently.
Nice.
Yeah. I got my second vaccine yesterday, Moderna. And, you know, I thought it was going to be pretty rough today, but, you know, I'm trucking along. It's pretty good.
That's excellent. Now, do you have a card or something that could pass as proof of vaccination?
Yeah, do you want to see it?
Are you going to? Yeah, show it to me, man. Are you going to carry it with you in public? I would.
I don't know. I think we're supposed to, right? This is the vaccine card.
Excellent. We were having this conversation prior to you joining us. A fine manufacturer of masks right here in the USA, Lutema, as you know, they're a fine sponsor of this radio station and this show. And Dr. Brennan, welcome to the show. You're a pediatrician. Masking the kids. We've just started reopening the schools here in the state of Wisconsin and in different locations where they're listening to my voice right now. Sir, what's your avocation? How do we send the kids back safely?
Well, first, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show. This has been a topic that's been on a lot of parents' minds, so I'm glad I get a chance to talk about it. So, you know, our kids just went back to school here in Southern California just within the last couple of weeks. And so for me, you know, one of the most important things that I could find was just a mask that fit each of my sized kids well. Which is actually how I stumbled upon the Lutema mask, because I was looking for something that was the equivalent of what I was wearing in the office and in the hospital with my patients. And I wanted them to have similar protection for themselves, for their classmates, and also for their teachers. So once I stumbled upon these and how they fit so nicely around, you know, each size face, I was able to get a bunch for my kids, for their friends, and to hook up our teachers too. So that, to me, that's the number one thing is having a good fitting mask.
Dr. Brennan, we've heard contrary opinions, depending on what your politics are, whether or not kids are vulnerable to the COVID-19 virus and whether or not they actively spread it. And I've heard differentials made on ages, et cetera. Sir, what's your opinion as a pediatrician? Is there a cutoff age, a better or worse age, et cetera, for infection, sir?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think when this all started, we were really worried that just like influenza is really spread amongst kids, we were worried that, you know, COVID was going to be spread the same way. Fortunately for what I do, my patients have been, you know, largely spared, but not completely. And so what I find is that if I look for infected kids, I find it. So if I have a child with mild symptoms or a child who's been exposed and I test them, I will find some kids who are positive. So by no means are our children immune. We feel like they probably don't catch it as readily. They probably don't spread it as readily until they hit, you know, somewhere around adolescence. So that might be 10, 11, 12. That may change a little bit, but I certainly have many examples in my practice of younger children who have gotten sick and then they've been able to get other family members sick as well. So I think we have to be careful. The other thing that I think we're really paying attention to is, you know, these new, more contagious variants. And I think if you look at numbers, at least locally, and I think this probably plays out nationwide, if you look at who's getting sick right now and who's, you know, being hospitalized, it's a much younger group of people than it was initially. And so I think we really do have to not forget that, you know, kids need it. And especially since kids aren't going to be able to get the vaccine by and large for quite a while, I think we really do need to make sure we're taking good care of them and vulnerable family members.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Dr. Dan Brennan. He's a pediatrician of some renown from Santa Barbara, California. Appreciate you appearing here today, sir. Have heard some contradictory information from the CDC of late. The initial recommendations, our understanding, was 6 feet apart at the schools. And now they've said 3 feet apart. And there are many districts struggling to create enough spacing. And they basically are defaulting to the smaller distance immediately, sir. And I question whether or not you think that's safe. And can a masked child at 3 feet, 3 feet distant, can they keep themselves safe even in a an indoor space with many other pupils?
It's a really great question. And you know, it feels oftentimes like, you know, I get whiplash just, you know, kind of watching information go back and forth. And I keep trying to remind myself, this is new. You know, we're finding out more information all the time. And so I think my personal opinion, my professional opinion is 6 feet is better than 3 feet. But I know in some places 3 feet may be what's, you know, what's required. And based on some of the more recent studies done, it has been shown that, you know, you can keep kids safe at a 3 foot distance. But I think we really, really, really have to double down on all of the other measures. So the ventilation has to be good. The sanitation has to be good. And most importantly, you have to have a really well-fitting mask. So if you're sitting 3 feet from somebody and you're one of those kids with a really nice cloth mask that your grandma made for you, but it keeps falling below your nose, that's not protecting that student and it's not protecting his classmates. If you can send your student to school with a much better fitting mask, then I think that that is probably the game changer. And that's something that I've really been talking to families about. So right now my kids are right at 6 feet and I literally went in there and they showed me with a, you know, little pole that was measured out at 6 feet because that was really important to me. I do think that's going to change in some areas. And I think that, you know, teachers and families have to make choices for what they think is best for their students.
Dr. Brennan, my understanding is even someone who has been fully vaccinated and waited the 2 weeks post second shot, if that's their course of vaccination, they still potentially can spread this disease. And my understanding, and I know that initially there was some question about, you know, can you touch your face and how are people contracting this disease? It seemed like it was a surface-borne contraction, but most of what I've heard since, this is a respiratory illness. Dr. Brennan, can you give us any additional insights? Even if you're vaccinated, should you be wearing a mask? Do we now know that this is entirely or almost entirely transmitted as a respiratory disease, sir?
So I appreciate the question. And, you know, recommendations will change based on knowledge. And I think at first we were all wiping down everything that came into the house. And I think that some people have lessened up on that. I know a lot of people who still feel more comfortable by being careful. I do think that hands hygiene is important and touching our faces, you know, is important. I think once you're vaccinated, you do carry a lot of protection. Does it make you bulletproof? I joke around with people it does, but I still am wearing my mask. I am still trying to keep my distance. I'm still trying to set a good example. And I would hate to be the person that was the one in 20 who didn't have protection from my vaccine that was able to spread it to somebody else. So I think until the case rates are down a lot lower and, you know, more people around us are vaccinated, essentially we've got our herd immunity. I think a lot of the same precautions we're hearing are going to continue, but with modification. And I think partly because we'll know more from studies that have been done and we'll know more about the virus. And also because, you know, we'll have more people vaccinated and that'll probably change the transmission rates a little bit. But I would agree with you. I think at this point, this is probably more of a droplet and airborne spread disease. So, you know, again, we come back to the masks being probably the most important piece of this is if you can keep the large droplets from coming out of your mouth, the nose while you're talking to somebody, or if you sneeze or you cough, that's probably the number one way that it helps. But it also helps to have something that is a good filtration mask as well. A lot of these viruses, even though they're small, will travel, you know, within a droplet. And if you've got a good mask, it'll hopefully help prevent that virus from, you know, coming into your breathable space.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's the voice of Dr. Dan Brennan, a pediatrician. Eddie, I'll get to you in just a moment. Dr. Brennan, my question for you, the political atmosphere regarding masks and even, hell, even COVID itself, and of course now the vaccines, what's your experience with patients and parents of patients who are coming in concerned about the vaccine, this vaccine versus other vaccines? Are you seeing that more people are concerned because of the how quickly it was developed? What are you seeing on the ground?
You know, it's interesting, and I live in a little bit of a special bubble. As a pediatrician, you know, I would say from somewhere around 2014, when we started having, you know, measles and pertussis outbreaks in California, I was, you know, definitely an advocate for vaccination and started a program here, a partnership between healthcare and education leaders. And we started a program called Strive for 95, which was basically what can we do to get our vaccine levels up to 95% or higher to achieve herd or community immunity. And, you know, if that groundwork we laid 7 years ago hasn't come in handy, I think that our community, which was once very vaccine hesitant, really has come around, and it's been a number of years in the making. But, you know, I think people understand the concept. The same group put together a group called Masked and Mighty, which is basically another positive campaign, messaging campaign to help people understand the benefits of masking and distancing. And now, you know, the mightiest of our powers is the vaccination. So I find that as people get vaccinated and they can share their experience with their friends and family, they're much more comfortable, you know, about getting the vaccine. I think that at first, you know, there may be more hesitancy, but as you see people around you, you know, with a Band-Aid on their arm, it helps them feel a little bit more comfortable. So I've had a lot of one-on-one conversations. I've done a lot of special group Zoom meetings with, you know, with people at a particular business that might have questions. And, you know, I would say usually after we have conversations, people feel more comfortable about it. We've never seen a vaccine that was able to roll out as efficiently and well as this one in any of our memories. So I understand why there would be some hesitancy, but this really is just a true, you know, scientific you know, miracle to be able to roll something like this out and have so many people protected. And I think the proof is really in the numbers. You can look in certain communities and places around the world where they have, you know, good vaccine rates, and you can really see the infection rates plummet. And I'm really feeling like, you know, we're headed in the right place in this country at the moment.
Eddie Fanical, Lutema Mask, Lutema PPE. Eddie, want to get you in here. Did I get that right? Is the last name right?
Panichkal.
Okay. Eddie Panichkal, thank you. Obviously, masks, very important. And everyone who's tried the Lutema mask, Eddie, I'm not even kidding you, and I appreciate your sponsorship, and this is true. Everybody I've talked to has tried these masks, people I don't even know, love them. So I just want to get your perspective, Eddie. Why is that? What is it about these masks that makes it so popular amongst the population?
Well, you know, we're a small company, and we make the masks right here in the U.S. And we're able to do a lot of, I guess, research and design on the filtration and the materials, and we can move very quickly. And so, you know, we had the M95Is, or those are our really great super high filtration masks, that they were a little bit thicker before and last year. But so this year we've created a thinner version, but, you know, it's still protective because we use electrostatic charge to prevent bacteria and particle filtration. So it keeps the mask very, very high filtration and equivalent to N95 masks.
Eddie, how often should I be changing that mask, sir?
We're wearing it a long time. You should be changing it every day.
Honestly, I did not know that. I'm going to have to order more Lutema masks. Use the radio code. You'll get a deal. Lutema, LUTEMA.com. Thank you, Eddie Panichkal. And thank you, Dr. Dan Brennan, pediatrician. Thank you both for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates today.
Cool. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Come
thank
back.
You so much.
More Devil's Advocates.